This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Welcome to the Living Your Destiny broadcast with Dr. John Barton, bringing you the Word of God with simplicity and revelation. Now, let's join Dr. Barton for today's message.
See, if I'm going to be a blessing to all families of the earth, that must mean I'm going to receive a great magnitude of blessings. It takes a person of great character to carry out the will of God. Even when the blessings are overtaking you, you can become so tempted to forget God. And that's why Moses told the children of Israel, beware lest you forget God. It was him that gave you the power to get wealth. I'm here to tell somebody, God is about to bless you in such an abundant way. He's about to bless you in such an overflowing way. But you need to have the character in order to maintain and sustain that blessing, because you need to realize you are a channel for those blessings, not just to come to you, but to flow through you. See, if it can't flow through you, it'll never come to you. So we see Abraham, he had the blessing conferred upon him. Now in Genesis 13, we see that Abraham there's a time of famine. I want to go there because I want to read it and take my time and really read it to you. Genesis chapter 13. Somebody shout, the power, to prosper. The Bible says in Genesis 13, 1, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, all that he had, Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and in gold. Now, prior to that, if you look in verse 10 of chapter 12, Genesis 12, verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to stay there, for the famine was very great in the land. It came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, she was Sarai at the time, behold now, I know that you are a very fine, beautiful woman to look upon. That's what he said, talking to his wife. How many of you know you can sweet talk your wife? Therefore, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife. And they will kill me because you're so fine and beautiful. They're going to try to kill me to get you. Are y'all seeing this? And in verse 13, he said, I pray thee. He said, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister. In other words, let them know that we're not husband and wife, we're sister and brother. So when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife. And he said, so that my soul, verse 13, that my soul shall live because of thee. So it came to pass when Abraham was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians saw Abraham's wife Sarai, that she was very beautiful. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh, because anytime the king wanted you, you had to go. That was the order of the king. And the woman was taken, Sarai was taken into Pharaoh's house. And look at verse 16. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, because Abraham had sheep, Abraham had oxen, he had donkeys, he had men servants, he had maid servants, he had camels.
Just for your reading, as you turn to 1 Kings 18th chapter, I'm going to read Matthew the 6th chapter, verse number 6. It says, but thou, when thou pray, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret. And the Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Amen. Let's look at 1 Kings the 18th chapter, verse 41. We'll end at verse 45. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat, and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, behold, there arise a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. I want to talk to you from this thought, the power of private prayer. Amen. The book of 1 Kings covers the life of a well-known prophet by the name of Elijah. His name meant Jehovah is God. Amen. Or God is Jehovah. Amen. And he was a prophet during a time when Israel had some wicked kings, some wickedness in the land, adultery going on in the land. It was kind of like the days that we live in now, whereas you have people that are in position that do whatever they want to do. They don't consult God, don't care what the Bible says, and the Bible has just become a book of literature to them rather than the authority of God. Amen. And so God will raise up people like Elijah, and sometimes you may feel like Elijah to feel like you're the only one that'll hold up a standard. But just as Elijah found out that he was not the only one, but there were 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Amen. He found out that even though there are some others that are in hiding, I still got to do my part. Amen. You know, he had just came off of a miraculous showing on Mount Carmel. He had a showdown with 450 false prophets. Amen. False prophets and priests. And he had just come off a hot, seemed like a real good time where people had just turned from their wickedness and turned back to God. And it seemed like he could have went on and rested. Seemed like he could have just went about his business. But his work was still not done. Oh, come on and say amen. He had the showdown on Mount Carmel. And by himself, he prayed and he called down fire from heaven, and the fire licked up the sacrifice and the water and everything else. And he proved that God was who he was. See, we sometimes have occasions in our life where we call on God, and guess what? He proves himself to us. But we don't stop at just that time when he proves himself. We must go back to our prayer life. Come on and say amen. The problem with the church today is that we don't really understand that it's important for us to pray. Oh, yeah, we want to come and patty cake, and we want to clap our hands, and we want to shout. But what about your prayer life? You see, your prayer life, what we see here at church, should be an extension from what we see or what you have done in your private time. That's why in Matthew 6, Jesus tells them that you ought to pray in your closet. And if you can pray privately, God doesn't mind blessing you publicly. My God. You're wondering how somebody climbed the ladder, or how they get blessed, or how their bills getting paid, or how they're making it through all the hell they're going through. You can't see how they're making it because it's because of their prayer closet, their relationship with God, the thing that they know that God will do from their private conversation. There's power in private prayer. Elijah, he had a relationship with God, and he was considered by Ahab a troublemaker. Say, you never have anything good to say because I'm only saying what God says. Come on and say amen. And he found it in himself to be able to pray. And when he prayed that it didn't rain for 3.5 years, the drought came. And guess what? It affected him too. It affected him, and all he could do was go to a brook where God instructed him to go. And when he was there, he didn't have no food, but God instructed the ravens to feed him. Come on and say amen. And so when you have a relationship with God, you need to be able to trust God that if it dries up, God, oh, come on and say amen. God will direct me into what I need to do so that I won't die of thirst. Oh, come on and say amen. But after, look, the ravens was feeding him. Now, these ravens, they didn't have to feed him. The ravens, they knew where to get the food because God directed them, and they couldn't eat until they fed him. You got to understand that God won't allow nothing to happen until you taken care of. Well, after that, he had to go, oh, come on and say amen. And he went to a widow, and God sustained him with the widow, who didn't have a whole lot, but because she took care of the man of God, God blessed her. Oh, come on and say amen. And so what I'm trying to say, that through it all, even if it affects you, you need to know that God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory. And so God teaches you these things once you become in a relationship with him and you get a prayer life. When I start talking about prayer, on last week, I believe, we start talking about it. And the word in the Aramaic, I say this and I'm going to keep saying it, is the word slotha, which means to set a snare. And I always use for the example how Elmer Fudd, how he set a snare for Bugs Bunny. And what did he put in there? He put a carrot time after time. He put a carrot in the snare. Why? Because that's what bugs like to eat. See, in order for us to develop a prayer life with God, we got to know what God likes. Oh, yes, we do. We got to know that he answers his word. Oh, yeah, we got to know what his words say concerning a situation. And the Bible said that he calls us to, he said, remind me of my word. God is not forgetful, but he wants you to have some word in you. He said, if ye abide in me and my word abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, but when we look at Elijah, we find out that he had just come off a great revival. And he left, and the Bible says that he told in verse number 41, he said, Elijah said unto Ahab, get up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. And so Ahab went to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Now let's stop right there. Now we look at the examples of Ahab and the example of Elijah. Now, first we look at Ahab had received a prophecy that he heard a sound of an abundance of rain. And Ahab, even though he heard what the prophet said, he didn't stop to satisfy himself. We see sometimes that's how we are. We go about our own business to satisfy our own flesh and satisfy our own self. When we get a word from God, you ought to at least tell God, thank you for the word. God, I know you're going to do it. We ought to at least praise him. Just like a minute ago when we should have been worshiping, but we were just looking at each other and smiling. I'm okay. I feel good. I don't think I need to do all that. Come on and say amen. But we need to know that if God speak a word to you, that means that you're on his mind. And so you ought to thank God that I'm on your mind, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give me what I need. It's not that they wanted rain, just they wanted it. It's they needed rain because there was a drought. And if God is willing to give you what you need, you ought to at least give God what he wants. What does God want? All he asks us for is a sacrifice of praise. He doesn't ask you to do any kind of magic, but he asks you to lift your hands, open up your mouth, and say, God, I thank you. Oh, yes, that's all he wants to enter into his gates. Boy, I wish I had a church to preach to this morning. Oh, hallelujah. So Ahab, look at that. After the move of God was so powerful, all he think about is going to eat. After God does something in our life, but the thing is that we think about fulfilling our own desires after God moved. What about fulfilling his desires, knowing that if I do what he wants me to do, he'll keep moving the way that I saw him move a little while ago. Do you want God to move in your life? Well, do what God wants you to do. And when you begin doing the things that God desired for you to do, oh, yeah, then he will begin to do more for you. Amen. He'll begin to open up doors that's been closed in your face. He'll begin to heal you when the doctor said that you couldn't be healed. He'll begin to deliver what people said they in a mess and they can't get out. Oh, come on and say amen here. After a mighty move of God, after seeing fire come down from heaven, all this man could think about is Ryan's Golden Corral. Come on and say amen. All he could think about is the feast that was laid out for him being the king. Then we look at how the desire of the flesh is more than the desire of the things of God for many people. For many of us, all we want to do is fulfill our desire of our flesh and forget that God has some things that he wants from us also. But then we look at, we have our spiritual barometer when we come to church. And what I'm saying is that it tests to see how you're growing spiritually. When you grow spiritually, you don't just seek after your own fleshly desire. You start to seeking more of what God has for you. Because I have not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for him, but it's been revealed by his spirit. Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we need to know that sometimes our attention span is so short when it comes to the things of God. When our attention span is so short, that means we're not really growing spiritually. Because we'll turn off the preacher whenever he gets over 15, 20 minutes. We don't hear no more what he's talking about. Oh yeah, if the service gets longer than 2 hours, now we've been in here too long. You know your spiritual growth when you're desiring to get out of the presence of God so that you can get back into the flesh. Let's look at the example of Elijah. Elijah climbed the mountain. He climbed the mountain after a miraculous move of God. Elijah said, I need to go higher. Boy, I wish somebody would have caught that. After God does something in your life, you need to say, God, I'm not satisfied with this level, but I need to go higher in you. I need more of whatever it is you have for me. Lord, I preached the best message I ever preached, but Lord, I need more. I need to go higher than the message. I need to live this. Oh, come on and say amen. I heard something I never heard before. I need you, Lord God, to give me some more of that. Oh, come on and say amen here. I need God to move like he's never moved in my life. And so I'm going to climb the mountain. The thing about prayer is that prayer is like climbing a mountain. Every time you read Jesus praying, he went up to the what? Mountaintop to pray. We need to climb the mountain of our life so that we can pray. Come on and say amen. He climbed the mountain. And the thing about it, some of us, we are too lazy to give an effort to pray. Lord, help me now. We have to know in our own house, in our own, not just when you come here. Oh, yeah, we can pray because everybody else is praying. But what about when there's nobody around? Do you have the initiative to say, I'm going to take time out to pray? I'm not talking about go there and get lay in the bed and just say a few words. No, I'm not talking about just going and then you take your cell phone, lay it by the bed, so just in case you're praying, when somebody takes a call, you can answer. No, I'm talking about an undisturbed prayer. Oh, yeah, well, come on and say amen. You need to get an undisturbed prayer life to where nothing can disturb me, but I'm going to focus on God because I know that there's power in my prayer life. And if I can make my private prayer life a powerful prayer life, then God will reward me with power in the public. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, he went up to the mountaintop. He climbed it. He gave an effort. Sometimes you got to give an effort. You see, I don't want what everybody else has. I may want more. So, therefore, I have to do more. Oh, come on and say amen. I have to pray a little longer. Oh, Lord, I have to stay down there a little while longer because I want more than the average person. The average person may pray 5 minutes. I need to tighten up, and I need to pray more than five. The average person knows the model prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, but I need to pray more than that. Oh, yeah, the average person know how to say thank you, but I need to know more than just thank you, Jesus. I need to give God, come on and say amen. I need to make my supplication known through thanksgiving. I need to be able to pray with faith that God will because I know he can. We need to know that the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. The fervency of our prayer is, do you have a hot prayer life? That's what it means, fervent. It means to turn up the fire until it boils over. Is your prayer life boiling over from your house to this house? To the church house? Come on and say amen. Oh yeah, we need prayer to boil over from my house to the church house. And then when I get to the courthouse, I ain't got to worry about it. And if I have to go to the crack house, come on and say amen. I need it. If I have to go to the jailhouse, I pray that my house.
So I got power. Whatever house I come to. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Privacy. We need to have privacy in our prayer. Sometimes we need to just develop, you know, we need to develop a relationship with God ourselves. I'm not saying don't ask people to pray for you. But I'm saying that what are you doing? Are you praying for yourself? Are you praying? Are you truly reaching the heavens? Are you truly talking to God and he's communing back with you? It's not that we need to just talk to God and hear God, here's my Christmas list. I want this and I want that. I need this and I need that. No, I'm talking about God. I want to, what is it you need me to do? God, I don't know if I can do it, but I guarantee if you empower me, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God, if you show me the way, I'm here and I'm willing and ready. I'm well able to do it. I thank you for the activity of my limbs and the ability to speak. God, I thank you that I'm able to do all things. Come on and say amen. If you want me to do it, I'll do it, Father. That's the kind of prayer that we need to give him. And we look at the example of Elijah. Elijah went up to the top of the mountain, and many of us, we don't want to climb. We don't want to go higher because we like it in the valley, because it got people down there patting us on the back saying it's going to be all right, giving us pity. Come on and say amen. But when you're on the mountain, sometimes you're by yourself. Sometimes don't nobody else want to go up there with you. But I thank God that if I go to the mountaintop, when I go up there to pray, I can see where I'm going. In the valley, I can't see what's happening. In the valley, all I can see is mountains all around. But I need a change of scenery. I need to change the view. Because if I'm in the valley and all I see is mountains, I'm worried about how I'm going to get through this. But if I can climb to the top of one of these mountains and begin to pray, I can look over the mountain and I can see where God is trying to take me. Can I get somebody who said, I've been to the mountaintop and I looked over into the promised land? I can see where God is trying to take me. He's not intending for me to stay in the valley. That's why David could write in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you need to know that the valley is for you to go through, not for you to live in, not for you to stay in, not for you to pitch your tent, but it's there only for you to walk through it so you can say, I've been there, done that. I walked through death, and here I am. I still made it. By the grace, I've come a long way. Look at Elijah. He says that Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. Look at what he done. He went up to the top of the mountain, fell down on the earth. That is a sign of humility in prayer. A lot of us, we become like the hypocrites that Jesus talked about in Matthew 6. We want to stand up so people can hear us pray. You know, I was talking to a guy the other day, and he was saying, man, that dude can pray. He was talking about another guy. He said, man, he was praying, and then all of a sudden he started preaching in his prayer. I said, so he wasn't really talking to God in the first place. He wanted people to hear him so they can say, man, you sure can pray. Yeah. But I don't want people to say, I can pray. I want people to see the effects of my prayer. Oh, praise his name. I don't want people to talk about, oh man, you know you can say a prayer. You don't really know how I pray, because sometimes I lay out before the Lord, my face get ugly, my tears start to flow. Sometimes I can't do nothing but listen. Sometimes I don't say a word. I just lay there and say, God, you know, my heart is poured out before you. My heart is full, and then my supplications are known to God. Don't you know that God know what you're going to say before you even open your mouth? So sometimes I don't say nothing. God just knows what I need, and when I get in prayer and in his presence, he said, I got you. Don't you worry about it. I know just what you need. I know how to pick you up. I know how to turn your life around. I know you need a healing. You ain't got to keep telling me. I'm here with you. Oh, Lord. But we got to be humble, because the scripture tells us, Peter tells us, he said that he gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Elijah could have gotten proud of what he just done. He could have gotten proud and say, I'm the prophet. You see what I just done? I just called fire down from heaven. I just slay 450 men by myself. I'm a bad man. Who's bad? He could have done all of that. But Elijah said, no, I know I got to get on my face before God, because if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I would have died at the brook. I wouldn't have never made it to the widow's house. I wouldn't have never made it up to this mountain to tell people that God wanted them to turn their life around. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the grace. So we look at his example. But now let's look at the expectancy of Elijah. He went in and he fell on his face. He found him a spot. Some of us, we need to find us a spot. And get on our face before God. And he put his head between his knees. Amen. We thank God for the example of Elijah. Because when he put his head between his knees, what was he saying to us? He was saying that I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to see nothing negative. Oh, come on and say amen. When you are a praying person, you need to say, I don't want to hear your mess. Turning the phone off. Oh, come on and say amen. Turning the TV off. I don't want to hear, I don't want to see your mess. I don't want to see no negativity. I don't want to hear nothing negative. I know what the doctor said, but I believe that God is able. I believe that God can do it. He can do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we can ask or think according to the power that work in us. God can do it. I need some people to be like the three Hebrew boys that said that our God is able, whether he do it or not. Oh, it don't take nothing from him, but he's able to do it. He went down, fell down, put his head between his knees. I don't want to hear no negative stuff, and I don't want to see no negative stuff. All I want is to be in the presence of God. Oh, yeah, then look at this. He says, and verse 43, and said unto his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked. So we got to stop right there. The expectancy of Elijah. He said that I'm going to pray, and I expect God to do something. Why? Because Elijah prophesied that 3.5 years it wasn't going to rain. He said that, and he knew it was about time for it to rain. And he said, if God, you said 3.5, now it's time for it to rain. I expect it to rain. We hear what God says, but we don't expect what God to do what he said. We hear him say that with your stripes, I'm healed. We heard his word say, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver them from them all. We heard him say, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. But do we really expect it? We need to start expecting God to move at his word. I'm not saying God move at my word, but God, you said it in your word. And the Bible tells me that God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. So God don't have to change his mind. He don't have to do nothing different. God can and God will do just what he said. And he don't have to say, I promise you, baby, because the fact that he can't lie makes it a promise. Come on and say man here. Oh, yeah, the expectancy of Elijah. He prophesied. He knew what God said. Told Ahab, he said, I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. He said, I heard it, and he expected it. The ear of faith hears what the eyes of the flesh can't see. Well, let me say that again. The ear of faith can hear what the eyes of the flesh cannot see. And so therefore, when he said, I heard the sound of abundance of rain, he went expecting the rain because his faith heard it. Well, let me give you an example of what the Bible said. He said, faith come by. So my faith heard it. And so since my faith, I wish I had somebody that would receive that word. And since my faith heard it, I believe it no matter what I see. Oh, come on and say amen. I won't let the outward circumstances affect the inward assurance that I have that God can do it. Tell your neighbor he can do it. Oh, yeah, I need somebody to go look for me. I'm not going to look for myself because I'm too busy praying. Oh, ask your neighbor, will you look for me? Oh, go and look for me because